Hi, welcome back. This is our podcast that we are calling RNL Talks.
Nice.
And I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves. My name is Joe Matthews, part of Renewed Life Church, and also new faculty member at Phoenix Christian. And
I'm Joey Reichenberger. I'm also a member at Renewed Life Church, and I am the Bible teacher at Phoenix Christian for the high school.
My name is Francisco Villa, and I've been coaching in the area for 31 years, girls basketball, boys basketball, various sports. So I was the Trevor Brown varsity boys coach at Trevor Brown High School.
Okay. My name is Aaron Villa. Francisco's my dad. I coached with him at Trevor Brown for the last 3 years. Now I'm running a social media page called The Hoopers Club, where I give athletes in Arizona exposure, and I'm going to start selling clothing out of that brand as well.
Nice. And I'm very thankful for you guys to be here. And real quick, I would love to pray before we start.
Yes, sir.
Lord, thank you for bringing us here today, and I pray that you just keep in our hearts you first and guide us through this conversation as we try to educate everybody about not only what's going on in this community, but help families understand the importance of just you in their lives, Lord, and also just help us educate them in the world and the way that it works today. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so starting off, sports right now is a lot different, especially from when I grew up. I mean, in the Stone Age, you know, everything was a lot different. But, you know, I was really, we have RNL Youth where we offer, you know, a lot of things for kids. This fall we're going to be doing flag football, we're going to be doing basketball, as well as doing a lot of after-school type of activities. But today I would really love to kind of focus on the sports part because I know that both of you are, you know, really into the community and you know, in touch. Now, one of the things that, you know, I want to really kind of talk about is how you help the kids and guide them as a coach. Now, last Thanksgiving, you did bring your basketball team down to our church.
Yes, sir.
And the kids were serving. Can you tell us a little bit more about that one?
Yes, sir. Well, anyway, no matter where I've coached, I've always put God first, and I'm trying to, you know, pretty much jab at the kids here and there about, you know, relationships with the Lord, and, you know, that's got to come first. And then, you know, being a good community member is more important to me than being a good basketball player or athlete. So I think giving back is probably one of the best things that we could do and serve. You know, you gave us the opportunity to come and serve for the people. And that's something that I do with all my teams that I've ever done. We pray after every practice. You know, I try to talk to them about God and you know, the relationship that I have with them, you know, and I don't hide that relationship, you know, for anybody. So, you know, and I always figured that if I got fired from public school because of what I do, then that's just a place that I didn't belong. But I'm going to be who I'm going to be. And, you know, God has made a very big impact on my life through sports and through opportunities. So I just wanted to make sure I gave back to these kids. The kids are fantastic, you know, not a whole lot of parent involvement. So we kind of step in and said, you know what, this is what we want you to do. This is how I want you to become a good, you know, community member as well as basketball player. You know, and I've always told them it's great that you can put a basketball inside a hoop, but what else can you do? What are we going to be professional in? So I get excited about bringing the Lord into the lives of some of these kids, you know, and just like anything, some of them take it and go with it, you know, and become great people and do some great things. And some of them, you know, take the jab and just kind of go on with their lives. But my goal is to bring as many kids as I can to the Lord, and that's through sports. I've always been a sports guy, so I try to figure out how am I going to do this. And I just, that was my mission. I believe that I've asked God and prayed to God and asked him, you know, what can you use me for, God? What is my mission? And then whatever you need, I'll do. And I've always been real good with kids, so that's kind of what I've been doing with these kids. And they were fantastic with coming, hey, this is what we're going to do. No questions asked, you know. Not only do we serve at your church, we get up sometimes at 5:30 in the morning and we go into the St. Mary's Food Bank and we give out food boxes. You know, and it was impressive because, you know, we had to be there by 5:30. So I had the bus and I went to go pick up these kids and they were all ready and, you know, wiping the sleep out of their eyes. And they went out there and served until about 12 noon. It was phenomenal. So I've always done that with my kids. I just think that that's a way of giving back and show them that no matter how hard we have it in life, there's always somebody that also can use your help. So
that's beautiful. Now, I know, Joey, last time you shared your story, and, you know, for me, when I did, I think my mom had me in sports as a six-year-old, and, you know, I had a lot of great coaches, and I had a lot of, you know, coaches that were kind of iffy. But, Joey, what about you? How was your experience with coaches?
Yeah, I was very blessed, I would say, to have so many very good coaches growing up. I didn't begin playing sports until about fifth grade, and I played football. So I wasn't a hooper, wasn't tall enough, couldn't shoot good enough. But I played football and kind of just took naturally to it because – I liked to run into people as fast as I could and had fun, yeah, doing that. But an interesting thing happened in junior high. A organization came, and it was a Christian organization. They brought football, and the coach that I had was just a sold-out follower of Christ. I wasn't a Christian, didn't come from a Christian home. And so I remember in the practices we had, junior high football, at the end of every practice, the last, like, 15 minutes, he would end practice early, kind of just to disciple us a little bit and tell us about, you know, how we can become better men and, you know, what it looks like to be, you know, men of character and discipline and things like that. And it really stuck with me, obviously, all these years later. And through that organization, I was able to go to a Christian high school and, you know, the coaches I had there were just as good, if not better, in terms of really walking life with us as kids and making it, you know, about beyond the sports. Yeah, we want to be good athletes, and we want to compete and work hard and win, of course. But what happens whenever the season's over? What happens when the athletic career is over? What kind of man are you going to be? And so I had coaches, you know, all the way growing up that not only taught that way, but also modeled that for me of, you know, it's about more than just being a good athlete. What kind of man are you going to be?
I think that's really special. Now, Aaron, you want to share a little bit about your experiences?
So obviously, I grew up with a coach for a dad. That's a big thing, and you know, he's told me I haven't always played for him. He's told me, you know, you got to play for a bad coach, know what a good coach is, and you know, that's, I feel like that's important. He never stepped in, even if someone wasn't showing me the right thing. He never stepped in. He respected that coach and gave him the opportunity to coach as well. But just understand, I've seen so many coaches throughout my life, and I've seen what he's done. I've seen what other people done, and, you know, compare it. It's different styles, and I feel like that's good for somebody to learn from two different people, you know, not just always one way. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff when he was at Westview with a really good basketball team. And a lot of those young men, they grow up, and they still reach out to him, still talk to him. They see him, they give him a hug. And just seeing that impact he had on others – and my coaching experience, I want to give that myself. So, you know, the last 3 years at Trevor, I built a really good relationship with some of these young men. And my first group, they're going to be seniors this year. Mm-hmm. And not being there, that kind of hurts a little bit. But I'll still be there supporting them. They know who I am. They always reach out to me. So, you know, it's a good experience in sports. I feel like it's a big role in a lot of these young men's lives, especially kids that come from low-income areas. Mm-hmm. I feel like it keeps them in the classroom. It gives them something to work for, and ultimately it gives them a outlet to for their frustration, use the basketball court as a haven. My dad told those boys that a lot. This is our haven for 2 hours a day. We come here. We're about nothing else but play the game and have fun. And that's what basketball has been for me. It's been a source to get out frustration, sadness, you know, anger, everything like that. And they said he tied God into it, so that made it even more powerful. You know, we prayed after every practice, held hands with our boys, prayed. They all bowed their heads. None of them were against it. They're all for it. And, you know, I feel like a lot of those young men don't have that guidance in their life, someone to help them to God. They don't have father figures. I've been told that numerous times where, you know, hey, coach, I appreciate you. You and coach were like a father figure to me, you know. And we have one of those young men going to a Division III in Minnesota, to Crown College.
Nice.
Yeah, he's one young man that he impacted our lives as much as we impacted his. So, you know, I really love the experience of coaching and being a player. It helps a lot, so.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you guys just brought up two things that I really appreciate. First of all, acknowledging the parental support of a lot of these kids. Sometimes it's not really there. But also, you know, the impact of being able to talk about God, because in a lot of situations, and I think we've all been there, you need to do it despite the fact that it may be your job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because a lot of people do not feel that God should be in those situations, but I don't see how you teach without God.
Right.
I mean, I will keep saying that over and over again. Now, really, I guess my next question is, when you are able to guide them like that, when you're able to help them, do you really see a huge difference in the way that they start to live?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've got a young lady that, of course, just like all of them are my family. The young lady actually took it, I mean, to the next level. She's now, you know, devoted her life to God and got a Christian family in her own. And it's nice to see her, you know, all the time and seeing her family on Facebook, because, you know, she's got her own family and now, and that's exactly what she's doing. And that, you know, I see them all the time on Facebook, and my kids are always telling me, coach, I wish, you know, I could, my kids have coach like you or something, you know, and guide them the way you guide us. And, you know, to me, it was, I always tell them, there's no need for thanks. You just become successful in whatever you want to be, you know, have a relationship with God. I says, that's my thanks. I said, when I get to see you on Facebook, and I think, you know, God would be the glory to see these kids be successful. And, you know, I've probably got, you know, probably close to 30 kids at the next level who actually got the opportunity. And that's what I tell them. This is just an opportunity to get your education. Mm-hmm. So if you can use sports for that opportunity, that's fantastic. Use that for opportunity for you to get your education. But, you know, not all of us are going to be professionals in whatever we're playing, but you will be a professional in something different. You know, I got some nurses. I got some psychiatrists. I've got other young ladies that have been coaches. And but a lot of them have fallen to Christ and really, which is awesome, you know. And they know that every time I see them on Facebook, I always use the word Mija a lot, and Mijo, mm-hmm. because that's just what I do. And a lot of it's because I can't remember their names also. I'm just that old.
I'm not the only one.
I'm just that old. So I kind of use that. And they always know it's coming from me because I always say, God bless. You know, I say, hey, Mijo, how you doing? Is everything okay? You know, God bless. So they know, and they're like, coach, I knew it was you because you said Mijo or Mijan. You know, God bless at the end. So, you know, it's nice to see that they know that I'm always out there still taking jabs at them, you know. And, you know, hey, look, you know, when you're having issues, you know, hey, go to God. Have you asked God? Have you asked him for strength, and have you prayed about it? And, you know, sometimes I think that, you know, are they getting tired of me? But, you know, those kids, you know, they got to hear it from somebody. And like I said, without the parental mm-hmm. guidance and pushing them towards that, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm a good influence in their lives. And I always tell the kids, listen, when we come together, it's not by chance. God has us here. And we may never, ever be here again. So my job is to hopefully impact your life in a positive way, or you to impact mine. That's why God put us here. So I'm going to try to impact everybody I can here, you know, and I may not be the coach for you. If that's not what you're into, I said, but I'll always take God's side before I will worry about my job, you know, because I'm not going to hide who I am, you know, and what he's done in my life for that. So, yeah, it's nice to see those kids go on and just, you know, Even though I can't remember their names, it's nice to see them go on and take their families the same direction. And so it's awesome.
It is beautiful that way. I always try to tell the kids, I would love to say that more kids come from, you know, that I coach, become doctors, engineers, right, and things than pros, because, you know, what, 1% may be able to make that far?
Right.
You know, we have this thing called Knowledge About College with RNL Youth. Oh. We have a database of about 600 different university and colleges in the United States. And so a lot of times when I'm working with the kids, I have them write to some of these colleges and everything to see what they have, to look at, understand what the majors are, give them some sort of idea for the future, because that's not really there. Now, with your business, you're actually marketing the kids, mm-hmm, to these schools. How's that going?
It's going great. I've got a lot of following, a lot of views on my stuff, and there's a lot of people that do report on it, but they're behind paywalls, so no one sees them. You know, that's my problem with that. So I'm doing it all for free. I'm not getting paid for anything. I love the game, and obviously, I think I'm sitting out this year. I might not for coaching. So I want to be around the game, be around basketball, and I know a lot of these kids already. I do have connections with a lot of these young men. So, hey, I'm going to go out there, write about them. The kids love it. They all post, they'll look what I got, this and that. And, you know, it makes an impact. And at Section 7, one of the biggest national tournaments for high school sports was here in Mesa. I went over there, and I had two young men from Willow Canyon come up to me and thank me. Hey, I appreciate everything you've done for me. You wrote everything up on me. And that right there, that's just a thank you. You know, I know I'm doing something for these young men. And I was very impressed. These two kids are really good basketball players, very talented. They didn't have to come up to me and shake my hand and say thank you for what you do, because a lot of these kids are used to getting that.
Yeah,
They're top players. They're used to everybody write about them, you know. That's the big thing. That's what really turned me on about these two young men. They're like, hey, appreciate everything you do. Look me in the eye, shook my hand, and you don't see that too much, you know. Yeah. So that was just a reward in itself for that happening. I'm actually have those two young men model clothes for me. Everything I give them, they're gonna keep.
Nice.
So they'll be coming up soon on my page. But yeah, it just, I see the impact I'm making already, and that's, I know I could keep on going further with this. You know, try to get more connected with these kids, and if I can, they get a scholarship for one of my write ups, or a coach calls me, hey, how's this kid? I know you've seen them. That's something eventually I would like to do. Have connections with college coaches to get these young men opportunities to go somewhere.
And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, the kids will look at the webpage, you know, from Trevor Brown in the last couple of years, and they'll go, Coach, I know you didn't do that. Because I'm so old. So they're like, I'm like, really? I said, yeah, you know who did it. And they call Coach Aaron. They're like, well, Coach Aaron did it. Like, yeah, you know, he knows everything about all that stuff. I mean, he did everything for us. He knows the kids left and right. I always tell him he's like a basketball savant when it comes down to, you know, knowledge and rebounding percentages. And he knows all that. He knows kids from that we've never played against, and he'll know how tall they are, what position they are, what they score, what their average is. And I told him he's like me 2.0. You know, I used to know stuff like that, but about professional athletes, pretty much, you know, he knows it about everybody. And, you know, so when I'm looking for a kid, and I'll say, hey, there's a kid from Mesa, a guard, and he'll tell me exactly who it is, how tall he is, how many points he scores, how many rebounds. So I'll get the whole write-up and everything. So it's pretty awesome to have him, you know, for me, because, like I said, he grew up playing basketball. You know, I got six girls and one boy, so all my kids grew up playing basketball, whether they liked it or not. So, but you know, my wife's an athlete, and thank God that she's allowed me to be around sports, because she's played 4 years of sports. So, you know, without that support, you know, it's hard to do it by yourself. You know, so I've had a wife that's been with me for 37 years now that allow me to go out there and do what I'm doing. And same thing with him. She's 100% behind him with, so excited about what he's doing, you know. So the family's gotta be behind you in order to do, yeah, what we're doing. As you guys know, that as well, you know. And, yeah. It's awesome that we got that support. And the same thing, we always put in God first. You know, on the back of his shirt, he has a cross on the back of his symbol, his shirt, because that's what he knows about. And that's kind of what we taught. So it's nice to see him take that. I mean, but he's took it to a new level that it's helped me tremendously. And it's helped these kids, you know. And the kids don't even know who he is, but he's writing about them and writing good things, you know, and staying positive in their life. So couldn't ask for anything better. So,
oh, that's beautiful. And I know, Joey, you went to ACU, right? Arizona Christian?
Yeah.
And no football team there, correct?
No, we have a football team.
There is a football team there. Oh.
Yeah, the ACU, that's where I graduated from. They've got a lot of sports teams going, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you consider playing, or did you play?
Well, so I graduated from Phoenix Christian, played football there. Okay. I considered it, but the way finances work for college, it made more sense for me not to pursue sports. So I didn't. I was just a scholar.
And that's, you know, that's what I kind of feel like a lot of people go towards, because we would love, you know, to be that person that keeps playing and keeps playing and keeps playing, but a lot of times it's just not in the cards.
Right.
However, what I do try to encourage, because, you know, there's so many opportunities out there, but a lot of times the kids aren't aware, or vice versa, the colleges aren't aware of the kids. And a lot of these kids are really good. I mean, you just saw the NBA draft the other day. I mean, last night, actually. And I think that one from, was he at Arizona, that only played in like 6 games?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he's all of a sudden going in the first round. And nobody, I remember them showing people's faces and saying, who's he?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why we have people like Aaron here that really know the kids and try to get their names out and everything. And I really think that's awesome, you know, which you were around when I was doing it.
And that's the thing about him, too, that you know, that's impressive, is because he does it just out of the goodness of his heart. Like I said, he's not getting paid for it, but, you know, he's trying to make a name for himself, but on a positive note. You know, so these kids understand. He's done a lot of what we call field level now that they have out there. Mm-hmm. And you've got contact with the coaches, and you talk about your kids, and you do that. He's done everything. He's loaded the uploaded film, and, you know, we've probably got 50 no's to one yes. But it's that one yes, you know. And I've always talked to a recruiter from college one time, and he says, you know, it's not really your job to get these kids to the next level, because you don't know all the coaches in the country. He says, so the parents really got to take a different approach, and they have to push stuff forward. But with our kids, we don't have that. So Aaron has done all that for us. Before I can tell him, hey, upload something, he's already uploaded it. You know, he's already got kids' things. And so coaches contact me and say, hey, coach, hey, you got a kid here, 6'6 kid that can do this? And I'm like, yes, sir. Well, I already watched the video, so I already know my son uploaded the video for him and stuff. You know, so it's really nice that what he does, and he knows that technology. He knows how to upload all that stuff, which, like me, you know, I used to write on chalkboards. So, you know.
You know, for me, yeah, I'm when I'm coaching and everything, I know I have – like stats that I could be looking at,
right.
But to me, I'm still old school. I'm going to watch the warm-ups. I want to try to figure out everything.
That's right.
And, you know, I think I get more off of that, but that's, again, because old school, not paying attention to all this.
Yes,
the numbers confuse me, okay? It's like I don't really need to have all that in my head. I got enough. I got to figure it out. But, you know, I really think that it's awesome giving them this chance, because otherwise, like you said, a lot of it's left up to the parents, and then you're really dealing with if the parent cares,
right?
You know, because a lot of them, they did not have that experience.
Exactly.
They did not understand why it was so important, because they're doing without already. So it should be good enough for the kids to just graduate high school.
Right.
And even I had some kids that, you know, that graduate high school was still kind of tough. But, you know, it is awesome when you can get them to get that exposure, and I love it. Now, one of the big things right now is NILs, you know, and it's changing everything. I know there's, you know, that high school in Los Angeles, Sierra Canyon, $1 million athlete there already.
I just seen them play Section 7 Mesa. They're legit. And like you said, they have 6'8". Young man, he's 6'8". He can do everything. Everything. And I'm like, man, this kid, he's at Sierra Canyon for a reason. Yeah. So they get money over there at Sierra Canyon. It's a very rich community around there. So I know this young man's probably getting paid a little bit. Oh, yeah. And I don't have a problem with it as long as it's approved and through someone, a trusted source. And like you said, now we've seen it explode on the college level, and now it's at high school level, which everybody's kind of worried about. And I feel like the AIA is, they're putting into just regulations to it. It has to be approved by the AIA here in Arizona. And, you know, I've seen a couple athletes already signed with agencies for NIL, and that's high school athletes. We're talking about kids that are going to be sophomores signing NIL for agencies to get approved for NIL. And that's something we've never seen before, you know. None of us have. It's different. It's new.
I mean, I'm like sitting here just going, you know, when I was coaching and we would have college scouts come on campuses. Mm-hmm. Now you have agents?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I mean, can you imagine if there was an agent coming onto campus?
Yeah, it'd be very interesting for sure. I think there's a lot of different takes on the NIL and good and bad and ugly. And I think it can be positive.
Yeah.
I think what it'll force teams to do is the coaches are going to have to step up because you're going to have an athlete that all of a sudden has a bunch of money.
Yeah.
They could be very irresponsible or they could be responsible. And it's going to come down to having a positive coach that can help point them the right direction to say, hey, you're talented enough to get this. That's good. Now, how can I steer you the right direction to make sure you're not blowing it all and getting into a bunch of trouble with it?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
And you know, that's one of the biggest things, too, is that, you know, you're talking about giving, you know, 16, 15-year-old kids more money than their coaches make.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting stipends, and we're happy with stipends, you know. And these guys are making, you know, hundreds of thousands, you know. Yep. So the next thing for a high school coach, I believe, is how do you motivate this kid to stay with you and listen to you and think about positive things, because he's got more money than you do. You know, he's going to drive a better car than you do. You know, so a lot of these kids are going to look at, where did you play? What did you do? You know, compared to, I get that a lot because of the way I look, you know, and I don't look like a basketball coach. I get that. So that means my knowledge has got to be strong. And I know that. So that's what I've based my whole coaching experience on, is I know what I look like. And everybody asks me, are you a football coach? Yeah, I've coached football before, but yeah, actually basketball is my love. So, you know, so I have to know what I'm talking about. So now it's another thing. You're talking about a kid that's getting hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, how are a coach is really going to have to really be on his game to be able to say, okay, let me show you what you can do with this money. You know, how it can really impact you to stay, not, you know, because we've all heard of professional athletes who made $10 million, and these guys don't have nothing to save their name at all. Mm-hmm. They didn't invest well. They did silly things with their money. You know, so now you're talking about giving a 15, 16-year-old money. You know, it's just the world we live in. So, like you said, how are we going to positively impact these kids?
Yeah.
You know, to set them the right way, in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really is key right now, and that's the hard part, because this is all new. And so, you know, I was talking to an athletic director the other day, and, you know, they were saying, you know, a lot of times, even though it's not supposed to happen, you have a lot more recruiting go out there. And when you have a high school that has certain boosters that can give the money to these kids, it's almost worth that kid to sit out for a year and take the punishment, because they're getting paid.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, it's, I really feel that, you know, the parents have to be aware of the type of program they're going into, because we do want to see, I mean, one blown knee, it's over. I've seen scholarships pulled because you hurt yourself. But if you are going to a high school that doesn't have a solid educational program just because of the money, I believe you're teaching the kids the wrong thing from the start. But as a coach, how do you think is the best way to combat that? Because, you know, like you said, you have to have that knowledge. You have to be able to instill it, and that is an advantage. However, if the parents don't see that, you know, they kind of follow the money. Now,
yes,
we were talking about this one particular athlete that we know. He doesn't really have his parents in his life, and the other day he got an offer for $150,000. you know, you're really kind of hoping that kid's going to be loyal. But I really kind of think that if you do teach God first, it is an advantage,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, nowadays, when you know, you're seeing a lot of these kids, you're seeing them playing and everything. Do you see a lot of the recruiting going on?
Yeah, it's been around forever, recruiting. Now it's been more out in the open. The AIA says it's not a rule, but they know everybody does it. And to me, my view on it is, if you know it's going on, might as well let everybody do it. Because there's be coaches at a smaller program complaining, hey, they took my best player. That's against the rules, but they don't do anything about it. So might as well let them do it so no one can complain. And then you factor in the NIL stuff, which is a whole other level. I've heard about stuff going on with money and athletes going to certain schools already before NIL, and that shouldn't have been happening, but it has. And, you know, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. And I report on a lot of the transfers that went on this summer in high school, and a lot of these kids are moving to richer schools and East Valley schools from the West Valley. And as a coach, how can I tell my kid, oh, don't go there, they're a championship contender, or look at their facilities compared to ours? As a coach, how can I tell someone, don't do that? They have a better education than we do. You know what I mean? That's, to me, it's like, man, it's changed the game a lot. And, you know, I've talked to a guy that reports in high school sports, has been around for a long time, and I've heard he said that AI is considering moving the 9-game suspension for transferring down to 5 for basketball.
Wow.
So it would give more kids an incentive to do it. And my part of it, I think the AIA is doing it because they have to battle the prep schools, which you go to a prep school, you don't set it at all. And you're playing 50 games a season. And you get national exposure. So now they're trying to battle the prep schools who already do offer money in NIL and housing for kids. They're basically colleges before college. AIA is trying to battle them. So now we're getting more lenient in AIA, just how the CAA is, where the prep schools play in. So now it's a whole different ball game. And like I said, NIL is getting factored into it. These kids are getting agents. And it's like, man, how's Arizona sports going to look? How's basketball? And, you know, football as well. Football's crazy right now with transfers and going to these top East Valley schools. And, you know, a school I like to use is Millennium for basketball. Not saying they recruit, but have you seen their gym? Their gym's a bit better than some college gyms, you know.
Yeah.
They have 2 5-stars over there. They're going on 6 out-of-state trips this year during the season for basketball. National tournaments. Why wouldn't I want to go there if I'm a top kid in Arizona to Millennium, you know? That's recruiting without talking to anybody, without recruiting, basically.
Right.
So it's like us at Trevor Brown, we have – it's a nice gym. Not super big. Our locker rooms aren't great. We got 12 good basketballs. I bought most of our equipment, the pads and stuff for the kids, cones, all kinds of stuff. I bought out of my money. How can I tell a kid, don't go Millennium if he's not good enough to play there? You know, that's and they do it. You know, some kids are loyal, and they will stay. And we've had a couple of those kids that could have went somewhere, and they stood with us at Trevor, you know. And to me, the reason they did stay is because – we did pour so much into the kids, and they see how much we cared, and you know, that helps a lot. But like you said, the recruiting is, it happens. You know, everybody says it doesn't, but it does, and it's a part of winning now. You know, it's a part of the game. And when he was at Westview, recruiting was a big no-no. You can't do it at all. That was 2012. This is 2025. 13 years later, everybody does it.
Yeah. You know, I love the way that you brought some of that up, especially about the facilities and everything, because, you know, being from Los Angeles, and I went to the neighborhood school, and I have to say right now, I think a lot of these schools are prep schools. They're not high schools. You know, it really isn't fair because they put a priority in pouring money into the facilities.
Yes.
You know, at Phoenix Christian, our gym's not bad, but it's one of the oldest gyms in the city. And from what I understand, we're not really looking to start pouring money into it because there's bigger priorities.
Right.
However, do you believe that it's going to change where a lot of schools are going to start pouring more into their facilities?
And I've seen that in the East Valley a lot. The East Valley does, I mean, they have money. The West Valley doesn't, you know, unless you're Goodyear school like a Millennium or like a Verado or Canyon View even. Those schools have, they do have money out there. But the East Valley school has been doing it for the last 10 years now. And now they have that advantage where we had a young man transfer to Hamilton for football. And he said, "Coach, this is like a college. It's different, you know. All these kids have their own trainers. All these kids have meal plans, you know, stuff to stay in shape. Their weight training programs at those schools are insane. They have guys that, on stipend, we get paid just to train these guys in weights. And the weight rooms are phenomenal. You know, that's a big thing. And, you know, that's why the East Valley is booming right now in sports, is because they've been putting money into their programs for the last 10 years and now it's showing, you know.
And they actually have sports classes throughout the day. So, coach, if you coach basketball, you got three basketball classes throughout the day, then a weight training course, and, you know, then you maybe teach one class, you know, compared to over here. There is no, you know, basketball class. You pretty much got to teach what you're teaching, and then after school is when you got your basketball class, of course, on your own time. But I was just talking to a coach, and he said that a basketball coach in East Valley has, you know, he had talked to him, and he said, "I have three classes of basketball, freshman, JV, and varsity, throughout the day, and then I have a weight training class, two of them for my basketball kids only, and then I teach one period of health." You know, so it's like, how do we compete with that when we don't get that? And then so basketball practice is just basketball practice. You don't have to condition. You don't have to do anything. They get to learn X's and O's pretty much and knowledge compared to we're teaching fundamentals and we're trying to condition them. We're trying to get them ready, you know, for 2 hours, you know, a day, because you're using the gym just like anything. There, you know, you've got girls basketball. You got other things going on in the gyms. You know, you got six teams sometimes trying to share one gym, you know, which is incredible compared to, you know, what we've seen in some of the bigger schools. You know, but you know what's funny is that, like you're saying, you know, Perry's got three kids in the NBA. They just lost a kid to a school in Florida.
Prolific prep.
Yeah,
he was number one player in Arizona, and he left. And why would you? He left from one school that produced three NBA players in the last five, six years to even a better school than that, out of state. So now we're dealing with that as well. And you know, there's money involved in that. No one just moves from Arizona to Florida for basketball, you know, that there's money involved in that. And it's just a different game. It's different. It really is.
And like you were saying too, like when you bring God into it, if the parents don't understand that, if the parents never had that in their lives, it's tough for them to see, well, you don't understand, mom and dad, you know, coach prays with us. Coach cares about us. Coach loves us, you know. And the parents don't know anything about that because they've never had that person. They never don't even have God in their lives. So for them, the best deal is, well, who's going to give you money? You know, so you're battling that as well because our parents are not educated and they don't have a relationship with the Lord either. So, you know, you're battling that because of poverty and because of other restrictions that they have in their life. You know, and they see a better way for their kids. Oh, wow, you can go to this school and they can probably even help us with rent. And, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, they put God always second, but they don't understand how we put God first. They've never had that person in their life to tell them that. So that's also what we're fighting as well, is because the parents are not, you know, educated enough to understand that, you know, we're here for the good of the kids. You know, when you go to bigger schools, they're always going to try to get somebody better than you. So I told a kid that went from us, I went to Sunny Slope, and I says, listen, I said, you're going to go to Sunny Slope. I says, and the next year, they're going to look for your replacement. And the next year, and the next year. They bring kids in every year. You know, here, you're going to be our guy. Your kid was a, you know, a big 6'6 freshman. Like, man, you don't understand. We don't have 6'6 kids come to our school. So we're going to make you the man, you know. And you know, talk to the parents. And the parents are like, oh, it's great. You know, everything's great. And then a week before tryouts, he told me, Coach, I'm going to Sunny Slope. So I called the mom and I says, hey, what happened? Is everything okay? You know, and, you know, something going on? And she's like, well, no, you know, he's going to go to this school because he's going to go play with his cousins. And I'm like, okay. So when I talked to you, you didn't know anybody from Arizona. You know, so the kid's dad is 7'1". The mom's kid played, wow. She played D1. He was a 6'6 freshman coming in, you know, he was gone that fast, you know, and we worked with them. He just got there right before when school started. So we worked with this young man, and a week before practice gone. And I was like, how did you even know about Sunny Slope? I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, how did you know? Someone's in his ear. You know what I mean? And there always are. So I was like, okay, well, you know. And I told him, I said, listen, whatever's best for you, whatever your parents think is best for you, that's awesome. I says, but here's the deal. Don't go over there and sit. If you're not good enough to play, why would you go over there? You know, if you didn't really get to play, you have an opportunity to be our stud and play and work hard here. As a freshman, be varsity guy. Over there, we don't know. They got a couple 5-stars going over there taller than you already, a 6'10", 6'9". So you might want to weigh that too. So the kid goes over there, plays freshman ball first year. Second year, he ends up at Paradise Valley. So it's like we were trying to get you to understand that, you know.
And that's another concern of mine is, you have these kids, they're growing up with their friends. And then all of a sudden, they're hopping from school to school to school. Now, did you attend one high school?
I transferred, actually. So my freshman year, I was at a school. And then I transferred my sophomore year. Okay. And then spent the rest of my time at
school. And how was that?
It was weird. My situation was a little bit different because there was a kind of a large group of us that transferred. We were part of an organization that brought us to this school. There's probably 30 of us. Wow. And then that group of 30, we all transferred together to Phoenix Christian is where we ended up going. So it was a different dynamic.
That's cool.
It was cool, but also kind of ugly because we didn't want to transfer at first. So we come, you know, almost to this foreign land, and it was like, we don't want to be here. Kind of got the feeling from the students there. They didn't want us there. It's kind of like a movie scene, you know, like Remember the Titans or something. And it was a weird dynamic at first. But obviously, you know, sports has a way of bringing people together. So it was helpful. But I couldn't imagine being a single student by myself making that transfer. I don't know anybody. You know, what would that be like? And these athletes are doing that every year.
And what's different now is these kids do know each other. It's crazy. So
social media and stuff.
Social media, and they play travel ball together year round. So these kids, and that's how a lot of recruiting does happen, is, all right, I'm going to this school, but my whole team, my three of my teammates on my EYBL team, which is the highest circuit for basketball, AAU, they go to, just say, Sunny Slope. So now I'm going to go to Sunny Slope, and I know people because I've been hanging out with these guys all summer. We've been traveling the country together, playing on these top circuits. So now I do know people. I'm going to go there. So, and a lot of these kids have friends from when they're younger. So these kids get identified on grassroots for basketball when they're 5th, 6th grade. And these kids play with these top teams from 5th, 6th grade. They usually stay together, and they go up. And if they don't go to high school together, they eventually transfer into different schools to play with each other. So these kids do know each other. It's not how it used to be, how, oh, this is the school I grew up by. This school I'm going to with all my friends. This is our team. We know what we're going to have, you know. It's not like that no more. With AAU and all these circuits coming up, you know, New Balance has a circuit. They have two circuits. Nike has one circuit. Adidas has two circuits. Puma has two circuits. All these, and they're putting money in these kids. We had, for our kids, we had two kids play on a circuit last year. One played for New Balance. One played for Puma. They got shoes. They traveled places to go play tournaments. And if you were really good, all that's paid for. You know, on that circuit level. So, like I said, these kids do know each other. They travel together. And I seen it all at Section 7. All these kids from different schools are hanging out with each other because they play same teams. You know, a big one is Compton Magic. They have our 6'11 kid from St. Mary's, Cameron Williams. And then Basha has a 6-foot guard from from Basha, and he plays for Compton Magic as well. These two kids are hanging out all together all weekend at the Section 7 because they traveling the country together, you know. So, and like me personally, I transferred from schools a little bit because just where we moved, and that's just what happens. We moved, and then I ended up going to Westview, my friends that I grew up with my junior year, and that's probably the most fun I had. So I couldn't imagine not at least spending 1 year with my friends from that I grew up with. But now it's different. The kids don't go outside as much as we, you know, that like
that's true.
Like when I play with my friends, you know, I used to go to their house all the time. We play swords and basketball, all kinds of stuff together, you know. So, but now kids don't do that. They do everything on social media and play video games together. And you could play with someone on video games from the other side of the country, you know. So, and like I feel like that doesn't factor into these kids' decisions anymore. Is I grew up with these guys. They don't see that no more. They say, I played with this guy and we went to 30 different states together over 2 summers, you know?
Wow. Because I know when I was coaching Los Angeles, one of the schools I was coaching at, I was there when the Collins twins were there. I remember actually having Gilbert Arenas come and speak to my kids and everything. And there was a season where he almost averaged 60, mm-hmm. you know, points a game. But all these kids were still staying at schools in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a pride thing for us.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yep.
You grew up wanting to play for that school.
Right.
And now it seems that doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't. And now what happened too was now all these schools are open enrollment. So as a freshman, you go anywhere you want.
No
matter where you live, you go anywhere you want. And that's a huge factor into that. You know, now, I know back then, people used to use someone else's address to get into school. You know, that was a big thing. I'm like, hey, let me use your address so I go to school with you. You know what I mean? Like, now it doesn't matter. You don't need to do that. You don't need to lie no more. You just go wherever you want. And that's a big factor into what's happening, you know.
Like, when I was at Westview, I would have never had the team. If prep schools and everything were around, I would have never had the team I had. Because I had a 6'10", 6'9", 6'7". You know, 6'6" kid. I mean, that's unheard of now. You don't hear that unless you're one of the top schools like Perry or Millennium or something. But now those are our prep school kids. All those kids are getting pulled to prep schools, you know. And Arizona has become such a hotbed that the high schools, the AIA, what do they call, like spillover, are still great basketball players. You know, so there's enough for all these kids to be pretty great. And then some of these prep schools got, you know, not only one team, they got 3 to 4 teams, but only the top teams known, and you can only find rosters for the top teams. But those other young men are trying to make that top team. So those are kids that probably can go to AIA and be studs in AIA, but they're sitting behind, you know, 6'10", 6'9 kid that can do everything they can do, you know. But they're coming from different countries, too. I mean, there's not just coming from United States. They're, you know, we've got a lot of kids coming from Canada and, you know, from all over the place.
Australia, the parts in Africa that are coming to these prep schools in Arizona. And they're, like, Bella Vista Prep's a big one. They're housing kids. They basically got dorms on their campus.
Yeah.
You know? But that's not governed by the AIA. It's CAA, and you could do pretty much whatever you want. And it's a whole other ball game. So now Arizona's grown exponentially in talent because we're getting kids from all over the country to come here. A kid that just went 7th overall in the draft, Jeremiah Fears, he played at Arizona Compass Prep all 4 years. I think he's originally from Louisiana. But he went to Arizona to play for this prep school for 4 years, and now he's an NBA. That's what they offer. And what they offer is basketball first. That's their whole thing, basketball first. We get a certain amount of hours of training. School comes second because they're preparing you for college. For college sports, not college academics.
And see, that's frightening.
And that's a downside. Because what if, like we say, what if you blow out a knee?
Yeah.
Then what? And now you're like, now you're behind in academics. Now what are you going to do with your life? That's what I do see a downside of prep school. If you are a top player in the country and you are this and that, it does have benefits. But if you're not, there's a lot of stuff that can happen where that won't be your future as sports, you know?
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah.
Really sad because I know that, you know, especially when you're looking at a 14-year-old, they may be big for their age at that point.
Mm-hmm.
However, development is important. It used to be one of those things where, you know, after school, you know, off season, but now if you're competing with pretty much professional programs, that's ridiculous. Because, I mean, I have to even admit, when I was in college, they didn't watch everything I ate. Yeah. You know? They were just step on the scale. Okay, you need to lose a couple or you have to gain some more. And you were going to get in the weight room or you're going to, you know, they would sit there. I remember one coach was like, you can move in with me, I'll feed you. But, I mean, when you're talking about in high school, they have meal plans.
Well, we coached. I coached at Merced Junior College in Central California, and I remember that the coach there was would put the kids on food stamps so they can have food because these kids wouldn't have nothing else. So we'd try to find apartments for them near the school. They had to have a part time job. They had they would eat top ramen noodles. You know, was their biggest meal throughout the day. So there was no meal plan or anything. These kids were just getting by. You know, so now it's come to, well, you know, these kids are driving $100,000 cars and got chains that, you know, it's like incredible stuff, you know. And I remember back in the days, it was like, coach, what are we doing? Oh, well, these kids are, they got food stamps. You know, we got an apartment for them. They're going to watch the gym for 2 hours to get paid, you know, stuff like that. We got them a job at McDonald's or, you know, part-time. And, man, how times have changed. You know, now these kids are not working at no McDonald's, that's for sure.
No, because that one player, I think he's going to Arizona.
Koa Pete, the big kid from Perry?
Well, no, this one's coming from L.A., and he was driving his Tesla truck, got into a single car accident.
Oh, man.
He actually was in a coma for a little bit. But you know, I know he still has his scholarship and everything. He thank the Lord he had a full recovery. However, I would a Tesla truck as a senior in high school. I don't even know what the inside of a Tesla truck looks
yeah.
like.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, but you know when you have the kids that are getting those type of things that, again, I praise you for being able to teach God first.
Yes, sir.
You know, because it is one of those things that it's not easy when you're competing against that dollar. And I wish more kids would pay attention to the words on the back of the dollar.
That's right.
Because it does say, in God we trust.
Yes, sir.
You know, and that's a very important.
And you know what was a good kicker in college sports was Oklahoma softball team, where they actually were interviewing the girls from Oklahoma, and she said that the young lady was up there, and she said, well, our coach teaches us God first. So this is all great that we won the national championship, but we knew that the best thing was our relationship with the Lord. And it was on national TV, and it was incredible. And, you know, she says, we pray every day. God, our coach has taught us that God comes first in your life, that wins and losses are not going to be your joy in life. Your joy in life is going to be relationship with the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, that's what I took. When I seen that, I says, that's what I'm teaching. That's when we pray every day, that's exactly what I tell my kids. Because it was so incredible that a D1 just won national championship, and the best thing they talked about was the Lord. They didn't, oh, it was nice winning and all that is great, you know, but we have better goals. We have bigger goals in our life, and that's to have a relationship with the Lord. And I was like, wow, it was just incredible. So, you know, there's people out there doing the right thing. You know, you just, it's just far and in between that you see these coaches. But I know I stole that. I seen it, and I, you know, as a coach, you beg, borrow, and steal, you know. And it was just something I looked at and I go, ooh, I'm taking that. You know, so, you know, there's good people out there. You just got to find them, you know. And it's going to be an uphill battle just like everything.
Yeah, it's never been promised to us that it's going to be easy, that's for sure.
Yes, sir.
You know, but I do appreciate when you do hear stories like that.
Yes, sir.
Because a lot of times, especially nowadays, athletes have that tendency to think it's all them, You know, they are the ones that are supposed to get the glory. They're the ones that the fans are coming to see. And I think that's even why NIL has happened, because they were sitting there watching the colleges get all this money, and they're like, what about us? Mm-hmm. Which, in a way, I can see it being fair.
Yeah.
Because the colleges and even high schools have been making money, a lot of money, off the back of a lot of these athletes. However, at the same time, again, we have to remember who we are following.
Yes, sir.
You know, because that is something that's different.
Sure.
Now, bring you back in here, Joey. Yep. You've been too quiet for me.
Okay.
Now, you know, when you were growing up, and you were saying that, you know, it was mainly your dad, it was mainly my mom.
Yeah.
But how was your life changed that you decided to put God first?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think the Lord used sports to draw me to himself. So sports were kind of the bait on the hook that God used to reel me in a little bit. Because for a long time, you know, I was the athlete that, you know, sports was my God. Football was my God. I would wake up, train, work hard, you know, do what I could to be as good of an athlete as I could, and that was my motivation. And so, you know, where the change was made was whenever I was in the Christian school, sports were still offered at a high level. My coaches were very competitive. We wanted to win. We wanted to work hard. But what was fortunate for me was I had the on-the-field competitiveness, and then the in-the-classroom, you need to learn about God now. And so having both of those offered at the same time was huge for me. Because at the time, I wouldn't have given up sports. You know, if somebody was like, hey, you can have this great sports program and you can compete and you could potentially win championships, or you could go to this school where that's not going to matter, but you're going to have a good education. At the time, I wouldn't have, I'd have been like, are you kidding me? I want to go compete. That's what I, that's how I, you know, I'm an athlete. I want to go on the field and, you know, work hard and all that kind of stuff. So getting to have both those combined was huge. And so it was, as I got a little bit older and matured during my junior year of high school, really being challenged in the classroom, that's where I was like, okay, there's more to life than sports. And what happens if I do, you know, tear my ACL or something like that? All of a sudden, my athletic career is different. So what's going to be, you know, what other things are important is the thing I had to wrestle with. So during that time, my junior year, I'm still competitive. You know, my senior year, came back, played, was a captain. We were, you know, made a deep run in the playoffs. So I stayed being athletic, but with a different background of, okay, I need to pursue the Lord in this, and I want to honor God as an athlete. So having both those things, the athletic side of it, but then also the reinforcement in the classroom, that's what made the difference.
Well, that's awesome.
I have to go, actually. Okay. I have volleyball practice.
Well, I appreciate you being here with us. But one day we'll get you back out here,
yes,
and we'll continue to talk.
And thank you very much for the opportunities.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you guys.
Good to have you here.